and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel, the 7th chapter. In Daniel, the 7th chapter, we begin studying the second division of the book of Daniel. You see, the book of Daniel is divided into two parts. The first part, chapters 1 through 6, deal with the deeds of Daniel. As we look at the first chapter, you remember that in the first chapter of the book of Daniel is where the king, where Daniel refused to eat the king's meat. We looked at the second chapter of Daniel, and that's where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And like we oftentimes do, he couldn't remember his dream. And he said to the wise men of that day, "You tell me what my dream was, or I'll kill you." They couldn't tell him. He was ready to have them all put to death. And finally, Daniel says, "O king, give me but a little time." And through the power of God, he comes back and he tells him what he dreamt. And then he interpreted that dream for him. You remember the third chapter. Daniel, the third chapter is when we studied Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to fall down and to worship the idol that was set forth. And they were thrown into the fire that was seven times hotter than the ordinary fire, but yet they were not burned, not even a singe of hair. We look at Daniel, the fourth chapter. And Daniel, the fourth chapter is when King Nebuchadnezzar had another dream, and he asked Daniel to interpret that dream, and Daniel said, "Humble yourself, O king, or you'll be cast out to graze like ox graze. You'll have your hair to grow like the feathers of an eagle. Your claws will be like that of a bird. Beware, humble yourself." But yet he did not. And 1 year later to the day, he went out and he said, "Oh, what a mighty kingdom that I have built for myself." And that day he was cast out to live for 7 years like that of a beast. We look at Daniel, the fifth chapter. Belshazzar, the son of Daniel, had a mighty feast, and there he saw the handwriting on the wall, but there was no body connected to that hand. And that hand was predicting that his future was very, very short, and that he would die. His kingdom would be divided, and it was that very night. The Medes and the Persians took over that kingdom. Last week we looked at Daniel, the sixth chapter, where Daniel refused to stop praying, even for 30 days. He couldn't stop for 30 days, but yet he had to pray three times daily. And he was cast into the lion's den for that. But yet again, he was in the safety of God. Now those are the deeds of Daniel. Those are the things that many of us have heard since we were very small, and they're stories that pronounce a very powerful understanding of how God loves people that follow Him. And we see those chapters and we say they're easy to understand. We enjoy studying those chapters. But the next six chapters are somewhat difficult to understand. The next six chapters are part of Daniel's visions and dreams that he has. You see, the book of Daniel is an apocalyptic book. That and Revelation are the only two apocalyptic books that we have in the Bible. They're the only two books that are known for their unveiling, for the disclosing information. Therefore, they're oftentimes taken out of context. Just in the past few years, we've heard preachers on TV take these verses in Daniel and make them to say things that they were never intended to be. So very oftentimes when we come onto chapters like Daniel, the seventh chapter, we want to just pass over those. Because they're taken in the wrong context sometimes is not reason to ignore their study. So this morning, let's go into this study. And let's try to understand exactly what God intended for us to understand. They're a very beautiful teaching. And I emphasize the fact that this is a beautiful teaching. I think this is the goal that Daniel set forth in writing this book. Here are just a few of the goals that surely he must have had. Wait patiently and in faith for God's plan to be accomplished. Do not worship the oppressor's gods. Obey God's laws, do acts of righteousness, and at last you will be on the winning side. That's what we need to keep in mind as we study these next few chapters in Daniel. It's remember that Daniel does say there are going to be hard and difficult times. But those that do not give in to the Almighty God and to turn to lesser gods, those will be on the winning side in the end. That's the same exact theme that the book of Revelation has within it. So today, let's look into the seventh chapter. I look to better understand the book, and in the end, hopefully we'll draw the same conclusion that we have in the beginning, that Christ is on the winning side, and that if I want to be on the winning side, I must be with Christ. Daniel, the 7th chapter, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Now remember, this is the Daniel, the same exact Daniel that King Nebuchadnezzar said, I had a dream last night, but I can't remember it. And Daniel told him what the dream was. This is the same Daniel that interpreted that dream. This is the same Daniel that we read a couple of chapters later that took and interpreted another dream. And now, Daniel has this dream, but yet notice in verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. Now the one that has been the great interpreter of the old times has a dream that he cannot even interpret. Surely this must have been a tremendous time in Daniel's life. A time when he's always been able to interpret the dreams, but now he comes upon one that grieves his body. He aches because he knows that there's a deep, deep message to this lesson, but yet he can't find what that interpretation should be. And finally, one tells him. Notice verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, in recent times, we have seen what great winds can do over a great sea. All throughout our life, all of us have been told, maybe some have even seen, and for sure we've seen on TV or in the newspaper, what the hurricanes can do. What wind can do when it is mighty, when it is forceful over water. How it can produce a wall that is so destructive. So here Daniel begins his dream by telling us this is a dream of destruction. This is a dream of conflict. This is a dream where some terrible things are going to happen because it's not just one or two winds over the water. It's winds from every direction. Winds from all four directions are tearing up the mighty sea and they're destroying things about them. Daniel, what are the things you're speaking of? Verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Daniel, what was the first beast like? Verse 4. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings, and beheld to the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, Daniel, that's a strange beast. What is the lion? The lion is the king of the jungle. The lion is the king of the forest. The lion is the one that has to fear no other beast, for it can take care of itself. It can defend itself in a very great manner. And here, this just isn't an ordinary lion. This is one who has eagle's wings. An eagle spreads over far, vast territories. An eagle is not the type of animal that only flies within a mile of its nest and comes back. It can soar in just a matter of moments to cover miles and miles of territory. Here, this lion that represents a courageous beast has the eagle's wings, which represents a great, great variety of area in which it covers. But notice, these wings were plucked. That means the ability to cover the great territory was taken away. Notice now this lion that was able to defend itself against any creature is now having to stand as a man. No longer can it defend itself against every creature. Its power was in using all of its parts of its body. Now two of its paws are taken away and it stands as a man. And the heart of a lion, the heart of a lion, the nature of the lion that tells him he is the king of the jungle and he can conquer any beast, that is taken away. And now he's given the heart of a man that says, now you're timid.
Now you must fear. Now you better beware. Something will take over you. Daniel, what are these things that you're speaking of? We read in verse 17, "These great beasts which are four, are four kings which shall rise out of the earth." This king that is being spoken of here, rising out of the earth like a lion with wings, is the king of Babylon. And the very day that Daniel was living, Babylon was to be such a great kingdom that it was compared to a lion. It was ferocious. It was to grow and to cover such vast territories that it was compared to the eagle's wings. But yet, that same kingdom was also taken away. The wings were plucked. It was made to stand as a man. Its abilities would soon be devoured, is what this dream is saying. Daniel, tell us about the second beast. Verse 5. "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." The second beast is the bear. Now the bear is not as swift as a lion, but yet the bear is still very mighty, very ferocious, but a little more slow than the lion. This bear has some very strange characteristics. Instead of saying that it rises like a man, as some bears oftentimes do, this bear rises on one side. It's as if it lifts its forepaw and its back paw off of the ground on one side to fight. This bear is compared to that of the Persians and the Medes. You remember, as we've studied through the book of Daniel, when Babylon fell, the next kingdom was given to two parts, the Medes and the Persians. The Persians were a very, very aggressive people. They were the ones that they wanted to fight. They wanted their kingdom to grow. So that was the part of the bear that raised up, the aggressive side. But the Medes were not aggressive. They were passive. They were willing to be as they were and to be content. But now this bear has three ribs in its mouth. Lydia, Egypt, and Babylon are the countries that represent those ribs in its mouth. Daniel, in his dream, realizes that it is said of this bear, "Arise, devour much flesh." And the Persians did just that. So many were slain. As the Persians, very slowly as a bear, it was not quick like Babylon. It was very slowly as they took over country after country. And there was much fighting and much conflict for this to take place. And much flesh was devoured on the part of the conflict being so slow. Daniel, tell us about the next beast. Verse 6. "After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it." Here we have a leopard, one of the swiftest of all the beasts of the jungle. But this leopard was not just swift. He did not have just two wings, but he had four wings on his back to emphasize the swiftness and the ability to cover much territory in a very, very quick time. And that's exactly what the Greeks did. The Greek empire grew so mightily and so fast, just as this verse says, dominion was given to it. Very oftentimes there was hardly any conflict because it would happen so fast that they would just be given their dominion. As they searched for new territory, the countries would immediately fall to their power. So we see here that Daniel has been prophesied about three very powerful kingdoms that would take place. Notice the fourth. Verse 7, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. This beast has no way of being described in likeness to another beast over all the other creatures. You see, they could compare Babylon to the lion. You could compare the bear to the Medes and the Persians. You could compare the leopard to the Greeks. But when it comes to the Roman nation, no other nation ever stood in such a way as the Roman nation stood. So now in Daniel's dream, it's not compared to any other beast that's known. It's compared to one that had iron teeth. It's compared to one in the Bible, the symbol of power is a horn. And this beast did not just have a horn. It had 10 horns, which the number 10 oftentimes in the prophetic accounts, it represents a perfect number. So it was to say that this beast had a perfect power about it. It could go about and it could stamp out the residue of any country. In a sense, what it was saying was whatever Rome wanted, Rome could take. That's how powerful this beast was to be. Well, Daniel, what's the significance of this to us today? Daniel, how can this help us in 1992, now that all of this has taken place? How can it be a benefit to me? Notice, as we read verse 9 and verse 11, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now that's God. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Look at verse 11. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. The lion was going to be conquered by the bear. The bear was going to be conquered by the leopard. The leopard was going to be conquered by that nameless foreign beast that was too great to compare to any other. But now, the message today is the greatest beast of all that arises from the earth will be destroyed on that day. Well, what's going to stand forever, Daniel? If the beast that is seen nothing else could destroy is going to be slain and its body is going to be burned, what will last forever, Daniel? Look at verse 13. I saw in the night visions and beheld one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before me, and there was given him dominion. Brethren, that's the kingdom we want to dwell upon today and forever. The kingdom that is like the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who comes from the clouds of heaven. All of these other beasts that we read of, their origin was from the earth. If I am putting my priorities today in things that are of the earth, I must believe it doesn't matter how great they are. It doesn't matter if they conquer other things on this earth today. The truth is there's coming a day when I will watch that beast fall and I'll watch it burn in flames. Because there's coming a day when there's only one kingdom that will remain. And that's the kingdom whose origin is God. The kingdom who comes from the cloud. The kingdom who began with the Ancient of Days, with Jesus Christ. The kingdom that's going to remain with Jesus Christ forever. Notice, as it speaks of the Ancient of Days, it says in verse 14, immediately following, and there was given him dominion and glory. All the other beasts that we spoke of this morning had to fight for their dominion. They had to seize the power. They had to have some kind of conflict, and it was by force that their dominion was obtained. Jesus Christ's kingdom is none of that. Jesus Christ's kingdom was given to him by God. And it's the kingdom of righteousness. All righteousness is of the kingdom of God. This morning, if I want to be right about anything, I must be right with Jesus Christ, the giver of all righteousness. If I want to be right with the security of my soul, I must be right with the origin of righteousness. This morning, I must believe that He was given that dominion. Righteousness is His. And if I want to be righteous this morning, I must rely upon His righteousness to obtain my righteousness. Also notice the rest of verse 14. And glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Glory. The earth would not say that Jesus Christ forging into this earth was a glorious one. As one of our fine young men stated in talk that he gave to us recently, Jesus was laid in just a feed trough. The world's not going to look and say, now that's a glorious birth. He was born in a stable. Today we can speak the ways of righteousness to men, and many will say that's not a glorious way to live. Brethren, today I need to realize that the gloriousness of Jesus Christ is upon the beauty of His holiness. If I want to give glory to God, I need to strive to find the beauty of holiness in my life this morning. What does it mean to bring glory to God? No matter what I do, I should be holy in what I do. When I go to school, I should go to school in a way that I'm holy. I'm not going against God in whatever I do at school. When I go to work, I should go to work and I should be holy, meaning that I do not go against God. Whatever I do at work. When I'm in my home, I should be holy. I should not go against God's ways in my home. When I'm in private in my thoughts, I should not go against God's way. I should be holy. The beauty of holiness will give us the glorious attraction to Jesus that we should have. But also, as we finish that verse, notice that it said that all nations, all people, all nations, and all languages should serve Him. The beauty about Jesus Christ is that Jesus claims all. You see, even in the Old Testament, when the Jews thought that they were the only nation that would be saved, Daniel prophesied and said, Jesus Christ is for all mankind. How great it is to know that none of us have to worry about being excluded because of our family name. None of us have to worry about being excluded because of our race or because some of those things that they don't matter. Jesus claims all. Jesus also attracts all. There's no one in this world that does not need Jesus. We need Jesus in our day-to-day living. We need to know how to live. We need Jesus when it comes to our soul and the security of our soul. We need to know how to be saved. We need Jesus for an eternity. I don't want to spend my life in hell. I want to live with Jesus forever. Jesus attracts everyone. Jesus also suits all. There's no one that Jesus cannot help. Jesus can help everyone in the areas we mention. He's for all people, all nations, all languages. And His dominion is forever and ever. It's lasting. This morning, I need to think, and I need to think long and hard. What do I have my life based upon? Before you close your Bibles, let's look at two or three more verses and we'll close. Look at verse 17 again and verse 18. These great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, even forever and ever. Which are we a part of? Are we a part of some earthly kingdom that's going to rise and it's going to be powerful and we're going to think that nothing could destroy this greatness that I have? But yet that day is coming when every beast from the earth will fall. It will be devoured and it will be burned in the flames. Are we going to be a part of the high priest that will live forever and ever? Notice how Daniel closes out the book, the verse 28 in this chapter. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations, my thoughts much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. I hope that you remember those thoughts. Just a few weeks ago, we studied that same outline on a Sunday morning. That was points 2 and 3. Look back with me at the 5th chapter in verse 10. This is what the queen said to the king. She said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Do you hear the difference in Satan and the difference in God? Satan says, don't let your thoughts bother you. Don't change your way of living. Remain the way you're living now in sin. And a man after God says, I saw the winds over the water. I saw the beast rising. I saw that many are going to be destroyed and there will be a few that will live forever. And he says, my thoughts trouble me. I changed my countenance. This morning, one of those two will explain your response today. If you're relying upon something that is of the beast of the earth, something that is in an earthly form, if that's where your priorities are, we need to think. We need to think long and hard. Some, by the very fact of where we will be this evening at 5 o'clock, will tell where our priorities are. Some, by the very fact of how we give, will tell where our priorities are. Some, by the way we treat each other and we live with each other, will tell how our priorities are. This morning, do I have my life with a kingdom that remains forever? Or do I have my life with a kingdom that will be destroyed? I need to let these thoughts trouble me. And if I am with the things of the world, I need to change my countenance because I want to live forever with God. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today, won't you do so as we stand?